Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. I am Bob Christopher. Certainly glad to be with you today. And as Bob said, the lines are wide open right now. We would love to hear from you on today's edition of Basic Gospel. The number toll-free here in America and Canada is 844-322-2742. Now's a great time to call. If you have a question about a problem passage, you want some clarification, maybe an issue that you're going through in life and want some help, we're here to point you into the Word of God to help you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, the number 844-322-2742. So call right now. You know, as far as life is concerned, as far as our day-to-day existence, one of the things that really motivates us, anchors us, can move us through some of the toughest times that we may experience in life is this thing called hope. And the gospel message is infused with hope. It's the only real hope that we have in this world today. And I just want to read a passage out of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6, that really connects us to the hope that we have in Christ, I think in a very practical way. It starts in verse 13 of chapter 6, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you and multiply you.' And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise." So God shows up in Abraham's life, and we know the story. We read about it in chapter 12 of Genesis, and most of us would think if God's going to show up in our lives, it's not going to be a good situation. It's not going to be a good encounter. He's probably coming to talk about some sin that we've done in the past, to bring about punishment in our lives, to do some corrective measure or some sort of judgment. But when God showed up in Abraham's life, he brought about promises and blessings. I call that grace. That's what the grace of God looks like. And in reality, when you have an encounter with God, maybe it's simply through hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, it really is an encounter of grace. God is bringing to you the promises that he has offered up in the person of Christ Jesus. So that's what happened with Abraham. God showed up. God blessed him. And this was just a blessing out of God's own heart. Abraham had done nothing to earn these. He had done nothing good or bad, as far as we know, to bring God down to have this encounter. God just chose Abraham and said, "I'm going to show up in your life, and I'm going to bring promises and blessings to you." And he said, I'm going to be faithful to carry out these promises, to bring them to fruition. And because there was no one greater to swear by than by himself, he swore by himself. So God's very character and his very hope were the guarantee that these promises to Abraham would be fulfilled, that God would be faithful to bring them about. And that's exactly what happened. "For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation." So he gives the value and the significance of an oath. Verse 17, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise," so that's you and that's me, anyone who has come to Christ by grace through faith is a child of God, a son, a promised son, an heir. So you have an inheritance. And so to you, he wanted to show you more convincingly the unchangeable character of his purpose. So to do that, he guaranteed this new covenant with an oath. so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. So God has given us this new covenant. It was ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. In this new covenant, you have the Spirit of God living in you, writing on your hearts and minds the very love of God, the very hope that anchors your life, faith in Jesus Christ. This is what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a part of the people of God. That's one of the promises. You know God. You have a personal relationship with Him, and the truth about God, the knowledge of God, the heart knowledge of God has been deposited inside of you, and you have forgiveness of sins, and God chooses to remember those no more. So that's what you have as your inheritance in Christ Jesus. Now, that's guaranteed. It is guaranteed by the very character and nature of God. It's guaranteed by the oath that he swore concerning this new covenant. So what does that do? It gives you strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before you. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. We all need to be anchored to something in life. Well, if we try to anchor ourselves to anything that's out there in the world, we're going to find that that's not going to hold us through the trials, through the tribulations, through the storms of life. We need something secure, and that thing that is secure is God Himself and the oath that He has declared. So this hope becomes an anchor, a steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So folks, in this new covenant, you have an eternal inheritance, and nothing is going to take that away from you. There is no power, no force here on planet Earth, within the heavenlies, within this realm, that can take that away from you. God has guaranteed it. It is yours forever. So let this hope be the steadfast anchor of your soul and give you the encouragement to live every day with confidence, knowing that Jesus Christ is with you and that you have been given abundant life and everything that you need to experience it to the full. Well, this is Basic Gospel. So glad you are here with us. The number to call, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Call it if you have a question. It's toll-free here in the United States and Canada. I would love to talk to you on today's edition of Basic Gospel. We have a wonderful resource for you this month. It's called The New Covenant Journey. It is a Bible study that will take you into the Word of God and help you truly understand the essential truths every Christian needs to know. It's a journey that you want to take, because at the end of it, you're going to have assurance, you're going to have rest for your soul, you're going to have peace in your heart, and you're going to know how to trust the Lord in your day-to-day walk with Him. So it's available as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Help others take this journey as well. Your gifts to Basic Gospel will do that very thing, will bring people in a close contact to the love of Jesus Christ and enable them to experience rest for their souls. So all the information on how to give is at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button. You know what's on my mind today. Click the donate button and follow all the instructions, and be sure to request your copy of The New Covenant Journey. We'll get that in the mail to you as quickly as we possibly can. 844-322-2742 is the number. This is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. We're going to go to our phone line, start right here in Dallas, Texas, and talk with Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Bob. Good afternoon. I have a new covenant question for you, sir. In Hebrews 8:10, we have the first promise or provision of Jesus' new covenant, where he says, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them upon their hearts. And I had a question for you on this. Now, in my mind, how I communicate this is, just like God wrote in the tablets of stone with the finger of God, he wrote the commandments on those stones. In the same way, he has written his laws to believe and to love from 1 John 3:23, and he's wrote those on our new creation hearts with the finger of God. Those are there. They're always there. So my question is, the second part here is about when he says the word write upon their heart, but when he talks about in the mind, he says, I will put my laws into their minds, and that's the Greek word number 1325. And a translation uses the word etch. And so when I communicate this, I talk about in the new creation heart, he has put to believe and to love on that. It's wrote on the heart, but it's etched in our minds. So I always use like an etch-a-sketch, that old game, the etch-a-sketch. And it's something where it's there, it's put there by the Spirit, but it can almost like be shaken when our eyes get on our circumstances. Or a lie comes in and we buy into the lie and it can almost like erase, but then the Spirit comes in. He's always affirming us and renewing it. And that's why we have the mind of Christ. And as we put it on and we put on what is true, that gets replaced. So I was just wanting your input about what your understanding is for that word etch. And that's my question. Thanks so much for your time today.
Well, you're welcome, Mark. Great question. As far as those two words, he's going to put those into our minds. That word put is a word that talks about making something the possession of those that it's put into. So this becomes part of our new DNA, our new spiritual DNA. This is our possession. And that's the reason, Mark, that we have a conflict as believers. So we have what the Spirit of God is etched or put into our minds and written on our hearts. We have that. We have those desires. We have that desire to trust Him, trust the Lord in all things. We have this hope that is the anchor for our souls. We have the love of God that has been poured into our hearts by the Spirit. So all of those things are now ours. They're our present possession, but they're inside of us at the very core of this new creation that we are. And yet this new creation is housed in a body of flesh, and that flesh has that imprint of that old life still in its members. So there's a conflict between the Spirit and the flesh. And so we simply walk by the Spirit. That's what God calls us to do, walk by the Spirit. And when we do, we're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh. So, Mark, I think those things are our present possession in the sense that we're new creatures in Christ. We're a new creation. So we've been given kind of a new DNA, and I think that's part of what the writer of Hebrews is saying or talking about in the fact that the Spirit of God is writing, has written the laws in our hearts and in our minds. That's what happened at new birth. So we were given new software, so to speak, and that software is there. It's our current possession.
Awesome. Can I do a quick follow-up as well?
Certainly.
The follow-up is, so this always kind of connects to me in my mind. This is from Titus 3, and it uses the phrase, let's see, he saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we've done in righteousness. This is Titus 3:5, but according to his mercy, and then it says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So when we even get into that renewing, I like your exhortation to me. I think it's more there too, like the mind it's put on there, but it's more there than how I'm using the word etch. I think it's between maybe etched and wrote. I like that. You're talking about his likeness, his image, and his DNA.
Yes.
So in the washing of regeneration and renewing, that's the instant birth as well. But we're exhortated to continue to renew the mind. And then as we're renewing the mind, that's essentially putting on what we know is true in our salvation every day. Correct?
Absolutely. So Mark, there's, you know, we as human beings, we have a spirit, we have a soul, we have a body. We know that this body is not the body that we're going to have forever. We're going to get a new body. We know our souls, you know, and our minds, what we think, the things that we feel can be dictated by what we put in our minds. Now, we've been given five senses. We've been given hearing, we've been given sight, we have touch, we have smell, we have taste. We take things out there in the world, from out there in the world, and we bring them inside of us through those senses. And we can dwell on those things that we bring inside of us through these senses in our minds, and that can create some thinking patterns. It can generate some feelings that sometimes are good, sometimes are bad, but that's kind of how we live in this world. Well, what God is saying to us is that he has put truth deep within us at the very core of who we are, in that inner man, that inner being, the spirit part of us. And let's allow that spirit part of us, that where God's spirit is bearing witness with our human spirit and bringing truth there, let's allow that truth to start informing our mind and directing our emotions and attitudes, and then showing up as far as our actions are concerned. So it starts with what God has etched on the deepest parts of who we are, that truth. Let's connect that truth with these minds of ours. Let that renew the thinking, and then allow that to direct our attitudes and our actions.
Excellent. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome, Mark. Thanks for your call. Call anytime, okay?
You bet. Will do. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Edgewood, Texas, and talk to Hannah. Hi, Hannah.
Hi. So I have this question. I think that, or really more of a statement, I think that we should follow all of the Old Testament law with the understanding that Christ is the fulfillment of it. So, for example, we'll do a lot of those things, but not like sacrifice turtle doves, because Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. And so I still think, what, like circumcision on the eighth day and not eating pigs, things like that. I feel like that still stands. And I'm going off the verse in Matthew 5:17. Don't think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not. I've come to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not a single jot or stroke of a pen will disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So then whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do likewise will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever practices and teaches them will be called the greatest. So I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Well, Hannah, I think we need to go on and read some other things in the New Testament. One, it says there in that verse that Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. And that's what he did at the cross. He fulfilled it. And the way he fulfilled it is he died. He carried out the full measure of the law. So the law says the wages of sin is death. So the law is going to come to its completion until punishment is meted out and carried out to the fullest extent. Well, the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ died. So that fulfilled the law. All of us were judged by the law. All of us were condemned by the law. All of us were found guilty by the law. And we all deserved punishment. So Jesus came and fulfilled it on our behalf. Now, in fulfilling it, he also ushered in a new covenant. And it's this new covenant that is in effect today. It's the new covenant that is in operation, in full operation today. And this new covenant is a covenant that is spirit-led from start to finish. So God sends his spirit to live inside of us, so we're new creations. And Paul said, for example, in Galatians chapter 6, that neither circumcision or uncircumcision matters. What matters is the new creation. That's what's important. So that law, everything that was in the law, was merely a shadow of what we can experience in this new covenant. So the law, for example, says don't commit adultery. Well, the love of God that's been poured out in our hearts will take us far beyond that to a place where we can actually love our mates as Christ loved us. So Hannah, if I don't know if you're married or not, but if you are and your husband came in and said, Hannah, I just want to show you how much I love you. I had opportunity after opportunity today to commit adultery, but I chose not to. And see how much I love you.
He still continues the law though. And like, but Christ, he took the penalty for it. And so it's like, just like the adulterous woman, like after they were caught, it's like, okay, let he who has no sin throw the first stone. And then he said, go and sin no more. And so like, not murdering right, still right. stands, not adultering
well, what,
still stands.
What I'm saying to
and
you.
And I have this verse in Revelations when you're ready for it.
Yeah. Well, Hannah, what I'm saying to you is simply this, that love is the new commandment. God has put his love into your heart, and as he said to his disciples before his death, burial, and resurrection, I give you a new commandment. I want you to love others as I have loved you. That's the new commandment. So if and we have been equipped by the Spirit of God to be able to live that out, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk by faith in him, and then to manifest that faith in love one for another. Now, that's the fulfillment of the law. That is much higher than those things that were etched on tablets of stone. So what God is saying is keep your mind focused on Jesus, focused on the love that he has for you, trust him day to day, and then allow his life to be manifested in and through you in love for other people. That's the Christian life. As Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's the life that God has called us to. That's what we've been raised to walk in the newness of. So if we will keep our eyes focused there on the love of Christ, the love that's been poured out in our hearts, and allow that love to flow through us, we're going to be living this life that Jesus gave to us to the full. That's what he calls us to. So Hannah, hope that helps. Let me put you on hold. We'll send some information. I'd love to continue this conversation with you. And I'm going to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Read it, and then let's talk further, okay? You hang on.
Let's do it.
All righty. Thanks, Hannah. Thanks for your call. Love those kind of discussions. Hannah, thank you so much for jumping on with us today, and we'll look forward to continuing this conversation with you in the coming weeks and months, and we look forward to getting this book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, into your hands. That book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is available to you as well. Go online to basicgospel.net to our store there, or actually you'll see an image of it on the very homepage and just click on that and get your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace as well. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your journey today. Thank you for being a part of ours. We'll be back tomorrow for a teaching edition of Basic Gospel as we continue through our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We'll see you tomorrow. So long.